lesson 19, and this is our third lesson on Jacob. And tonight I'm going to talk about the parallel between Jacob and Abraham. The parallel between Jacob and Abraham. So that's where we're going to endeavor to go, and I think it's a rather interesting little study. I just think it's rather interesting how Jacob's life mirrored that of his grandfather's. And so as I studied the life of Abraham and then studied the life of Jacob, and it really honestly, this has came to me. Sometimes things as you're studying, they kind of jump at you, and sometimes they happen over a progression. And I had saw this happen, and I'd saw that take place, and I started to get this thought in my mind that there is a pretty big parallel between Abraham and Jacob. And I guess it unfolded to me when I read the words of Isaac. It was when Isaac was sending Jacob away. And if I can reiterate what I said a few weeks ago, just for a moment, concerning Isaac. And this is kind of something I had read. It said he was the ordinary son. Isaac was the ordinary son of a great father and the ordinary father of a great son. And so you have Abraham, you have Jacob kind of on the extremes. While Isaac is the link between the two, you really see the parallels between Jacob and Abraham. That is really where I found the great parallels at. Abraham being the one who God chose to start with, and Jacob being the father or the starting point of the tribes. So you have Abraham as sort of the father of it all, right? And then you have Jacob, or you have Israel as the starting point of the tribes. And so it is through Isaac sending Jacob away that we see why this came into being. And it is really when this sort of unfolded for me. If you remember the story, it was Jacob who came in with the help of his mother, right? And took the birthright and the blessing that was sold to him by his brother for some beans, right? You know the story. Esau came to Jacob and he said, "Give me something to eat." He said, "Not unless you sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "I'll do it." And then later on, Jacob had to go in and steal away that which he had already bought. Really, if you put it and you look at it in the right terms, because Esau was going out to still claim what he had already sold away. It took, and I wrote this, that even though he had sold, or he had bought this birthright, yet it took deception to get what was rightfully his. He had to deceive his brother. And now I'm out. And so Jacob the supplanter does exactly what his brothers, or what his name prophesied. He supplanted or took the place of his brother. And so to protect his life, his mother sent him away to a place that we've talked about at an earlier time. And it's here we find Isaac speaking this final blessing on Jacob. And this is where it unfolds for me. This is where it unfolds. Genesis 28, verse 3. "And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham." I want you to notice, Isaac says, "I want you to have the blessing of Abraham, to thy seed and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." In both accounts, Isaac says, "I want you to have that which is Abraham." So he's telling Jacob, "Jacob, you'd get what's Abraham's." When you take this passage and you add it to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And so you find that this statement was not a coincidence. Jacob was not to follow in Isaac's footsteps. Jacob was prophesied to follow in Abraham's footsteps. Jacob, the prophecy concerning him was, I want you to get the blessing of Abraham. I want you to get the land and inherit what was Abraham's. And so he follows, and this really becomes the part that I guess it jumped out, that wow, I began to find all these parallels and why these parallels were the way they were. It was because it was what God had designed it to be. And so it's with this backdrop that we've come to Jacob's mother sending him away to find his wife. And where does she send him? Genesis 27:43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. She tells Jacob, go to Haran and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. She thought just a couple days, and what turned out to be a few days turned out to be around 21 years. Matter of fact, my memory is serving me correctly, and I'm 90% sure it is. What was his Jacob's mother never saw Jacob again. She died before he ever returned back. She said, just go for a few days, and it turns into 21 years. Why is this significant? Why is this telling him to go to Haran significant? Because it was here that the Bible records in Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And so it's here that we see that Abraham began his journey. 12 verse 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Abraham starts his journey with God in Haran. Want you to get this. This is where he starts. He leaves Haran. He had got the word in Ur of Chaldees. He goes to Haran with his dad. He stays there, but he does not leave right away. He stays there for a few years, and it is in Haran that he starts his journey. It was here in Haran that Jacob went and lived for 21 years. And it was also here that Jacob began his journey. In Genesis 31 verse 3, watch. I want you to see how this parallels. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. It was here in Haran that God said, okay, you've had enough time here. I want you to leave. I want you to go to the land of Canaan. I also found it interesting that the Bible records that Abraham gathered all his stuff. I want you to read, and Jen, if you read 12 and 5, it says, and he got all his substance and that he gathered, and the souls that he had gotten in Haran. He had gained some wealth and gained some things in Haran, and he gathers his stuff up in Haran and leaves. I found it interesting when Jacob leaves. Watch what it says in Genesis 31:17. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. What did Jacob do? The same thing Abraham did. He gathered up his stuff and headed out. Incidentally, incidentally, Paddan Aram is actually a plain that is in Haran. So Padan Aram, when you read that, it's actually in Haran. It is a plain that's there. The next place mentioned in Abraham's journey is very significant. And this is really one of the initial ones that caught my attention, because I remember seeing this some time ago. It was this place that marked Abraham's safe journey from Haran to Canaan. It was this place that marked his safe journey. And it was here that Abraham builds his first altar. It was here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And it's the same place that Jacob comes after leaving Haran. It's the same place. The Bible says, and Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in this land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. Verse 20. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. Abraham goes from Haran to Shechem. Jacob goes from Haran to Shechem. That word is spelled a little differently, but it's the same land. I love this because if you remember, Jacob had to first, this to me is so cool. Jacob, if you remember, had to first stand up to Laban. Laban came after. When he left Laban, Laban comes after him with a group of men. He comes to get him. Jacob has to stand up to him and says, what are you talking about? I didn't steal nothing from you. He then has to face his brother, right, who wanted to kill him. All of this before ever getting to Shechem. And it was also during that same journey that he wrestles the angel and has his name changed from Jacob to Israel. So when he gets to Shechem, he builds an altar and says, I have to give thanks unto my God. And he calls it El Elohe Israel. And if I got the translation correctly, the mighty God of Israel. He calls it the mighty God of Israel. Is it any wonder? He had to face his brother. God had to be with him. He had to face Laban. God had to be with him. He had to wrestle the angel. He was wrestling. He recognized. He learned something, that it was the mighty God who brought him to this place, the same place of Abraham. We then find that Abraham journeys right after Shechem to another very familiar place. I'm going to sort of stretch here a little bit, but we're still in the same vicinity. In Genesis 12 and 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. You guys remember that just a few weeks ago? And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. We notice that there's Abraham. It was in this place called Bethel that we find Jacob's first encounter with God. It's when God shows him this ladder with angels going up and down the ladder. And he calls the name of it. It was called Luz, but he names it Bethel, meaning And Jacob vowed a vow at this time, saying, if God be with me, then and he'll keep me, that I go, he says, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. It's almost as if Jacob here in Bethel makes a deal with God. He says, if you'll keep me, you'll be my God. Now, I know I talked about this just a couple weeks ago, but I just love the way God sends him back to Bethel. In Genesis 35, verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. God says, look, I've done my part, now go back to Bethel. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from his brother Jacob had a way of naming his altars. The first time he marks it with a stone. The second time he builds an altar there. And I want you to notice the first time he called it Bethel, house of God. The second time he calls it El Bethel, God of the house of God. The next place we see Abraham, it was when he would go to the land of Egypt. Now there is some different timing as to when they went and to how they left, but I want to show you the parallels. Here is what the Bible says about Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now watch Abraham leaves. Genesis 13, verse 1 and 2. And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And watch. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. I want you to notice two things. One, when he went there, it was because of a famine. When he left there, he was very rich. I want you to gather those two thoughts. Now remember what happened to the story of Jacob. He goes to Egypt as well. What was the cause of his journey? Very similar. Genesis 41, 56. And the famine was all over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all lands. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? I want you to get that. What happened? Why does Jacob go? The same reason Abraham went. There was a famine. And he says, you know what? I've got to get there. He sends his boys. You know the story of him sending the sons and how Joseph and all of that went on. I'm not going to recount that story. Now remember, you have to remember this, that in Egypt, Jacob dies. Jacob died in Egypt. But what did Jacob tell Joseph? Genesis 47, verse 29. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, I pray thee, put thy hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. You ready? And it was his children. Some 200 years later, the Bible records in Exodus 12, 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. When Abraham left Egypt, he left with wealth. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they left with wealth. The final stop in Abraham's life was a place called Mamre or Hebron. It was a cave called Machpelah. And it was here that Abraham purchases a field and buries his wife Sarah. It is also here that he is buried. It's in the same place that Isaac and Rebekah are buried. And at the end of Jacob's life, he says this. Genesis 49, verse 29. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Hephron the Hittite. In the cave that is the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. Remember what I said last week, and I'm going to prove it to you. And there I buried Leah. That was Jacob's first wife. It's the one God honors. The purchase of the field and of the field that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Truly, and I'm getting ready, I'm shutting it down right now. Maybe my best one yet, right? You're all like, yes. When you study the life of Abraham and Jacob, the words spoken by Isaac, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. It came to pass. When you look at the life of Jacob and you look at the life of Abraham, the parallel runs through. I wanted to run that parallel because to me it was just such a fascinating thing how it was prophesied, how Isaac spoke it, and yet we see it followed, and we see such a clear path that it follows. And so I wanted to bring that out. I've been talking about it for 3 weeks or so, and so I wanted to show you what I saw. And next week we'll get into the last part of Jacob, and now it slipped my mind what that was going to be, but I have it written down. In 2 weeks, yes, thank you. In 2 weeks, that's right. There's no class Wednesday. I mean, you all, I should say, everyone's welcome to come Wednesday night. You're welcome to come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, believe me, the more people I have here surrounding this place, the better we are. And but yes, Wednesday there won't be. I won't be teaching. Melvin and Melvin will be teaching, and Cousin Abe will be teaching. And so, unless you want, if you want to hear what they're teaching, so. All right, well, let's pray. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are in your word. We're thankful, Lord, how your word lines up, and, Lord, just the different things that are there as we study it and as we look into it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help each and every one of us, Lord, to take your word and to allow it. I pray, Lord, for a hunger, Lord, for your word, desire to study your word and to know just so many things about it, Lord, because it's so precious to us, Lord. It is just so rich and so deep with, Lord, with so many things that we can learn from and study and, Lord, get understanding from. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you, the mighty God, Lord, would be our strong hand, Lord, to lead us through everything that we go through and everything we might face and everything that might try to come against us. Lord, I pray, just like Jacob was able to say that you are the mighty God in his life, God, I pray, Lord, that every single one of us, Lord, would be able to say that you are the mighty God that's in our life. And Lord, help us all, Lord, as we strive to live closer to you. Lord, I pray that you'll bless, Lord, what is done over the next couple of weeks. Lord, I pray that seeds would be planted, that hearts would be changed. Lord, that some children, Lord, would find you in a way they never have before. Lord, that they would learn some things about you they never knew before. And Lord, that some, maybe for the first time, may even learn who you are. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help us. And Lord, help each one, Lord, as we endeavor to reach this world with the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.